Thank you, Carl. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. As we said, as we begin this morning, the sun was shining early this morning. Bright day. Boy, what a gloomy day yesterday was, but it's a bright day today for to be out. We're glad that you're out and about, and that you're here in the Lord's house, and that's encouraging to us, and we hope that we'll be encouragers to you today, that we just want to honor God. God is so good and bless us so abundantly, and you folks look like you've been blessed last week by this wonderful God that we have. And he's great. He is so great, so good to us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing forth your faith in our great God and our wonderful Savior. I want to share with you a few words from the book of Matthew, which will also be our text for our message this morning, taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, reads like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, or they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as Jesus is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We're here to honor God and to worship him and praise him for the love that he demonstrated to mankind through this Jesus. Let us do that.
For human worship this morning, use number 124, sing the first and fourth verse, and I'll have the prayer. Let's all stand.
Angels from the realm of glory, winged your flight in o'er the earth. Ye who sing creation's glory, now proclaim the Messiah's birth. Come and join him, come and worship.
Thank you for this privilege you granted us again to come into your house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise, hear thy word, be with each individual, they open their hearts, minds, and see the message of the hour. Now go with us through the further exercise of service, guide, guard, and direct us, and save us. Ends our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
After communion hymn, we're going to use number 378. 378.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
surrender all, all to Jesus, blessed Savior, I surrender all.
I'll be reading through Matthew 26:26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Then we'll pray.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, the opportunity that we have to come together to worship you and enjoy each other's company. We're especially thankful for this cup and this loaf that represents thy Son, and through him we have life and have it everlasting. Be with us through this service. Guide, guard, and direct us, and keep us in thy service. These words we ask in thy name.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you for all the gifts you give us. You always give us more than we deserve. As we break a portion of these gifts back through our tithes and offerings, we ask that you multiply them for your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Several things to share with you this morning. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, several of the people here are participating in this. The good news from home, His Majesty's sent messengers will be at Stamping Ground Christian Church, 3 o'clock this afternoon, to present this cantata. And so if you want to spend the afternoon, something to encourage you with, be there at 3 o'clock. Also, recognizing this week is our Fun Food Fellowship night, Friday night. And that's the time we also come together after we have our meal and we do the decorating. And some of you all folks do put up the tree and put all the nice things around the church house here. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. During this season, and I don't know whether it just goes through December or whether it goes all winter, a plot for the ark down there. If you folks take a nice little trip and see something nice, you can go down to the Ark, and for $10, that's the parking fee, is $10. But if you had four of you in a car, that's only two and a half a piece. And you could go in there, and they have a tremendous, a great restaurant there. It's cafeteria style, and it's cheaper than any of the restaurants that you eat in up here. They have a wonderful food and plenty supply of that. They have a sitting room of about 300 in that restaurant. And so you could go in the evening and have dinner. And you also could see all the animals. And then it's a spectacular thing that takes place when all the lights come on. If you go in the evening, stay after dark and see all the lights. They have a film thing then one time, at a certain time, on the side of the ark. You can't go into the ark, but you can see all the other things outside. And then they have some other shop things there, and it's just a wonderful time. And I say that also, that it's a good time, maybe you have some friends that's not too interested in the church or the Lord or whatever. It's a real good opportunity. $10 to go, I mean, if you don't have to eat, but it's a good place to eat. If you ever eat there, some of you say, how many of you ever ate there? Ron and them have, I know, and we have, and Michael has, and it's tremendous, isn't it? It's really good, and so forth. So you could take your friends, and you wouldn't have to say nothing. Just take them and look and walk around that ark and see all the beauty things and the different things they have there. It would be a real impressive. So I encourage you to think about that and try to do that. If not only just for yourself, take your neighbor, somebody that you can acquaint with those things. All right. Now, and then also I have here, some of you have talked to me about it, and so I know some of you know that Frisch's Restaurant, which headquarters is in Cincinnati, has applied to the alcoholic beverage department for a liquor license to serve alcoholic beverages in the restaurant here at Georgetown. And so, by the permission of the elders, I drew up a petition for us. I'd like for you to sign it, everybody that will. I'll have this in the back when you go out. Please take time to sign it if you will. Family restaurants is just going by the wayside, and hardly you can find one that doesn't have a bar in it. And I would like to think that there's men and women who'd like to take, or a man would like to take his wife and children, go into a restaurant and have a nice little meal without the atmosphere of alcoholic beverages. And so we're going to send this petition to the home office in Cincinnati, to the Fisher's Big Boy home office there. We're going to send in a copy of it also with a letter to the alcoholic department in that issues permits in Frankfurt. So if you will, sign that. We just would rather not have Frisch's have a bar in their restaurant there. So if you feel that way, well, please sign that. Take time to do that. Let's see, what else we got going here? No Bible study this afternoon because of about half a dozen of our people is going to be in the program over there at the Stamping Ground. And so we'll pick up on that later. And the good news from the Tuttle family, they're going to sleep tonight, I understand, in their new house. Hey. That's going to be great. That'll be great. That's been a while, hasn't it? It's been a job. We're so glad for you. So glad for you. Yeah. Okay. Looking at our prayer list, and again, we have a good number of people on our prayer list. It gets large sometimes, and then it gets small. And so in the due process of that, we see the loving hand of God at work in the people's lives. And I meant to ask Tina about her father. Your father's still doing okay?
He's in the hospital.
He's in the hospital. Hospital. All right, share with. Keep us informed of what's going on with people. I see Michelle Lee's back on our prayer list.
She's home. She's doing pretty good.
Okay. She was off. We had her on there and she was off.
Yeah.
And let's see, who else? Pauline's not with us this morning in the sunshine. I assume she's not feeling well today. And because, I mean, I know with the sunshine, she'd be here if she didn't feel bad. So keep her in prayer. And just look at our list there and each one of them. Maxine was talking yesterday to Vi over there, and Vi's got it worked out now that she's got people that's working with her with their legs because of the cancer. She's having a hard time to walk, and so the whatever you call the people comes in to help them do that. Rehab people is coming to the house to do that. She has now the voice person that's working with her. They're coming, so that's a great help to her, I believe. I would say it would be because now she doesn't have to get out and go, and somebody doesn't have to take her or whatever. And says, so that's a help for her. So she's hopefully those things will work well for her. Fanny and Wayne's not here because Fanny's brother, he's in the hospital. He's in the hospital. And so keep Fanny and Wayne. Boy, they're so faithful. They drive, you know, at their age. And so I say at their age. But they drive down from the other side of Lexington down here, just as faithful as can be. And we love those folks, and we just pray that things will go well with them. We know that a couple of her brothers has had cancer and so forth in different times, and things have worked pretty good and so forth. So I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with her brother now, but let's just pray that things will go well for her. Also, you folks are very familiar with the Tucker Hillcomb and Wilson Funeral Home. And so Rachel Wilson Jewell has cancer, taking treatment. If things doesn't work out, after the first year, then they will have surgery. And so let's pray that things will work, whatever they're doing, the treatment she's taking and so forth. Let's pray that those things will work out, that it'll manifest a wellness in her inner system and rid her of that. Also, let's see, is she on our list here? We might put her on our list also as Joe Carroll Wilson. Joe Carroll isn't doing real well. She's taking tablets and so forth, and I think, I don't know whether they've got another thing if this doesn't work well, but it's not going real well. And so she's suffering from cancer. So keep those folks, that cancer is a terrible thing. So let's keep those folks on our minds and on our prayers. So our nation, naturally, the leaders of our nation, pray daily for our leaders, the service people who are on foreign field. And boy, this is a rough month for them, I'm sure of that, because they're away from home. Bergen experienced that, and who some, you know, and some of the other folks here off in the service and foreign country, and the wonderful time that's going on through December, or celebrating the birth of the Lord and all the wonderful things that are happening, they're not with that. Hopefully that I'm so thankful for those people that will go there. And I assume that Bergen, did you experience in Christmas time a lot of people from the states come and put on programs and stuff? Did you experience any of them, or would you
no.
The war was going on too much for that then, wasn't it? Yeah, but hopefully that we have peaceful enough that maybe some people can go and put on programs, share with the service people, that will be some encouragement to them. But at least we can pray for them, that God will bless them, keep them safe. Pray for each other, pray for this church, and pray, look around and see each and everyone, what's going on. Share with each other what's going on in your life, and pray with one another about those things. God is very eager and interested to hear what our desires is, and he desires for us to be well, enjoy life and enjoy things. So let's thank him for them, and let's praise him for them.
The fourth prayer hymn, we're going to use number 128, saying the first and last verse. Benny will have our prayer. It's all said.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shine up the everlasting light. The
Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you just now, I stand for our church and pray to you, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving, how you've blessed our people, your people, the people of the Porter Church. We thank you, dear God, for watching over and caring for and helping them to get through the things that they were dealt with this past week, made it possible for them to be here this morning. We want to be here, dear God. We want to praise you. We want to honor you. We want to express our faith in a wonderful God and a great Savior that we have. So, Father God, we're so grateful. Help us to always be grateful for your goodness. We pray, Heavenly Father, then, for those that we have just mentioned on our prayer list, those with cancer, Heavenly Father. We know that's such a terrible, terrible disease. It just eats away at many people's lives, young or old alike, Heavenly Father. So, we pray for comfort for them. We pray for healing. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those who are ministering those aids to them, that it will work, that it will strengthen them, and they can overcome those diseases and those terrible things that they suffer in their physical bodies. And then, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great nation in which we live in. Thank you for the freedom that we have, that we can come and go without being molested by foreigners of certain people or whatever, that we have the joy of going about and enjoying the things that you have for us here in this place, in this life. And then, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for our church family. As we name those, Heavenly Father, that are absent from us, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll be strengthened, be back with us. We're so thankful for this church and for the light that it shines here in the Porter area, for the encouragement we get when we come together with each other. And we're so thankful for this time of the year and during December as we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Almighty God, to spread forth it in song and in word and in our lives in a way that many people might come to know Jesus. We pray for the nation. We pray for the world itself, Heavenly Father, that throughout the world that many people through this descent, through this month would come to recognize their need for Jesus and come to understand that all good and perfect gifts comes from the Heavenly Father. The hope that we have in this life and the life to come comes through Jesus. Help us to understand that. Help us to celebrate that. Help us to give thanks for that. Now we ask, Heavenly Father, for each one present here, forgiven us for we might have fallen short. Strengthen us in our walk with Christ. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be good servants. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be good workers for Christ Jesus, who give his all for us, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Imitation hymn number 351. At this time, the choir will bring special.
Thank you, Kathy and Inquiry. Very strong. And then one thing I wanted to remind you of, which I don't think I need to remind you, but I want to anyhow, is week after next, the choir is going to present a program for us. And so be encouraging others. Tell some of your neighbors and so forth, some of your friends, some of the family. Come and be a part of that and take care of it. We're going to also have our holiday meal. That'll be a week after next. So looking forward to a good day that day. And choir, you sound good and strong this morning, or else I put new batteries in my hearing aids. One of the other, I don't know what it is. But whichever it is, good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. And also, did you give Donna the name Lindsay? if you will. We have, you know, Lynn and Margaret comes out here quite often. And they have a daughter in Lexington, and she has been battling cancer and taking treatment. And they would like for us to have her on our prayer list. I can't tell your name. Maxine will give it to me. I know. But appreciate that very much. And so that's kind of a job for them. Marge goes up every Tuesday, and she has a treatment on Tuesday and so forth. And so keep on prayer. All right. I forget anything else. Okay, we're back now, and starting this month, we're talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about getting to Bethlehem where the Christ is born and so forth. And this morning, I want to take it out of this passage here. It seems to me it gets a little harder every year because of all the things you never remember what you've talked about, but it does make a difference. Probably if most of you are like you, half of it you forget about anyhow. And so it's a good reminder. So we're going to talk about Jesus this morning. Matthew records here, and in your study of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll take these two things in consideration, it will help you. Matthew is writing, and his writing is from the perspective of Joseph. He's speaking from the man's side, so to speak. Luke records it, and he speaks more of in the perspective of Mary and talks of the woman's side of it. So when you read those, you'll see some differences, but it's not really a difference either. It's just that one's looking from one side and one's looking from another right side and recording it that way. So that will help you in your study of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope, when you do that. But we have here, you know, a very awkward situation here, I would say, for Joseph especially, and Mary also. Mary was so blessed, but I find it to be a more awkward situation for Joseph than Mary, if that's fair to say. And I'll show you why I say that after a while. But I'll tell you this little story to start with. This lady went to the doctor for a visit, and the doctor's office had put on some new doctors. And so she got one of the new doctors. And she went in about 4 minutes into the conversation in there. She come out of the door hollering, up the hall, hollering and screaming. The older doctor caught her by the arm and said, "Well, what's the matter?" She explained what was the matter. And he said, "Now, just come in this room and sit down in this chair and just calm down and it'll be all right." And the old doctor, he come out of that door and he busted down that hallway. And in that door, that young doctor, and he said, "What in the world did you do?" He said, "Miss Tilly here, she's 78 years old. She's got 4 children, she's got 7 grandchildren, and you told her she's pregnant." And he writes on his scribble, and he's got a little grin on. He said, it cured her hiccups, though, didn't it? Yeah. Cured her hiccups, didn't it? Oh, yeah. Hey, this man and his wife had a newborn baby. And they the little girl, and they'd had a 4-year-old son, and they took her to their church to have her baptized. And they started home, and the little 4-year-old boy in the back seat, and he's just crying. He's just uncontrollable. And the mother looks back and says, "Johnny, what's the matter? He said, "Well, Mommy," he said, "that man back there said that he hoped that our little girl would grow up in a Christian family. And I really wanted her to stay with you guys." Yeah. But here we have a problem here with a birth, with a pregnancy and a birth here. It's one of the most wonderful things that ever happened to this world. But also, I think it was kind of an awkward situation for them here. And as we see in the book of Matthew, well, Matthew starts off with a genealogy here, really, of telling the genealogy down to Jesus, from Abraham and down David and down to Jesus. When he gets done then, he begins here in verse 18, and he says, "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ." And, you know, Matthew draws here to to set forth the birth of the Lord, actually the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the birth also. And he says that now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is how it happened. This is how it took place, he's saying. I want to share with you, he says, here and tell you how the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ took place here. And so he tells us of the most wonderful, astounding birth that ever took place upon this earth. It never will happen. It never happened before. And I'm quite sure it'll never happen again. And I say that for a simple reason. We only needed one Savior. And he's the one that came. And we'll never need another Savior. He's sufficient for all time. And so there will never be another virgin birth, even though that they have been reported somewhat, but I think they prove out to not be. And I was reading some stories about these and read about this young lady who was a nun. And lo and behold, she came up with a child. And she said, it's just a gift from God. And the other nuns was really upset because she said that would bring a disgrace upon the nunnery. And so the young lady said, well, she was going to keep the baby and raise it and so forth and go on and finish her tender there as a nun. But the old nun said, I kind of think I know what happened. Said she went back to Nova Scotia to renew her passport. I think she got together with an old flame. So it wasn't a miraculous. And she couldn't claim miraculous. There's never happened, and it never will happen again. And so he tells us of this most wonderful, astounding birth that ever took place in this world. And so the coming of Christ was a promise. You know who the promise was made, who God made the promise to that Jesus would come? Genesis 3:15, he made the promise to the devil. Huh? First time he talked about the Savior coming, he promised Satan. He said, Satan, because of all your evil things you've done here, because you've tricked Eve, because of your evil intent here, there's going to be a seed from a woman who is going to bruise your head, oh boy. So he promised that right there to Satan, that Jesus would come. He promised this birth that we're talking about here today. Oh, the prophets all through talked about and prophesied that Jesus would come, that he would be the one that would be the Savior, that the fulfillment of that. And you know, when we read about this time and get a picture of what was taking place, there was a real anticipation of Jesus coming. Many people were looking for Jesus. Just like now, there is a real anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to gather his own back into himself. And so the coming of Jesus here, we see them among the faithful people of Israel, especially because they had looked for this Redeemer and they have waited for this Redeemer and they were anticipating to come. If you remember over in the book of Luke chapter 2, and we'll find over there in verse 25 and 36 and so forth, we find an old gentleman over there he's actually an elderly priest and his name is Simeon. And then there also is a elderly lady there by the name of Anna. Anna lived in the temple. She didn't leave the temple. She was there offering prayers all the time. Simeon was I consider to be the high priest or the priest on duty at that time, and he comes in. And it is said that they were in great expectation of Jesus coming. Matter of fact, it says of Simeon, he had a promise of God that he would not die until he saw the Savior, the Messiah. And so if you remember the story there of Simeon and Anna, and they were blessed, Simeon, an old man, about to die, and he was anticipating seeing the Messiah before he died, and he did. And Anna took him in her arms and blessed him and blessed Mary. And then, you know, not only were the people there at Israel, not only the Jews or the Israelites were expecting Jesus, or anticipate him come, the Gentiles did also. You also, you can read about the, in the second chapter here, verse, I think, one through of Matthew, records the wise men in the east, and you know what they were doing? You know when Jesus was born, what they were doing? They had been studying the stars. Because when they saw the star and they came, you know the story. But what I want to tell you, they were anticipating Jesus coming. They were studying the stars, trying to get a handle on when the Messiah was to come. They were anticipating the Lord Jesus coming. And so, now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, he says. And in verse 18, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And according to Luke 1 and 35, the angel said to Mary, you've been highly blessed. The Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will conceive and have this child and so forth here. And this was done for a reason. The only way that we could have a Savior is to have one who was not polluted with sin. And the only way that could happen is for a woman, a virgin, to have a child by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if she had a child, let's say that she had a natural child. Let's say Joseph and her was going to have this child. And he was appointed to be the Savior. He couldn't be because what? Because every child is born after Adam and Eve inherit the sinful nature of Adam and Eve. So he had to be born. Oh, Jesus was born, and I can't say, I don't know whether it's fair to say, he had the sinful nature. He took on the nature of mankind. So in one sense, he had within himself the sinful nature. But he never sinned. He was able to overcome any temptation. And he was tempted. He was tempted. The scripture says he was tempted like you and I are. In all ways. There's not a way. Sierra got that verse down real good here a while back in her Bible study about the temptation. There's no temptation that known to man has overcome man that you know that God doesn't know about. He knows about all of them, but he didn't sin. Only through the miraculous birth, the Holy Spirit conceiving Mary could this take place. And so he later took upon himself. I say that Jesus, you know, I picture, and this might not be right, but I picture it this way. I picture Jesus was born and he had a body just like me and you. Subject to everything that we are. The scripture says he was. Temptations came to him just like to you and I. He had this body that had the ability to sin, but didn't sin. Didn't sin. Nowhere, no how, nothing in his life did he sin. But you know what he did at the end? He took your sin and my sin and the sins of all mankind and nailed him. He took them up on himself. So I picture here this man who lived a sinless life, but he took up on himself every sin of mankind. And the scripture says he nailed him to the cross. Nailed him to the cross. What a Savior. I love that hymn. Oh, what a Savior in Jesus Christ. Took our sins away. Nailed him to the cross. Nailed him to the cross. The most astounding thing of this baby boy was that he was born without a biological father. You know, there's people that just can't grasp that. Can't believe that. Joseph has a hard time believing that here in a little bit, doesn't he? And I can understand that a little bit, can't you? Born without a father? It's hard to believe, maybe. It's astounding. An amazing thing that this young girl, a virgin, she's not had sexual relationship with any man. She's espoused to Joseph. going to be married. Half of the period of married time is about taken, already taken up. I picture here that possibly when Mary got this news, they've probably been engaged, espoused is as strong as any wedding certificate that anybody in this house has at that time. For them to get out of their engagement, they would have to do as you would to get out of your marriage, and that is have a divorce, a written paper divorce. It was that tying. So she was espoused here. And I figure that they got engaged or espoused, say maybe this day, and now it's 3 months. I'll use the 3 months figure. And this is not biblical, but I mean it's speculation, possibility. So they're 3 months into their engagement, possibly, or maybe longer. And that's when the angel then appeared to Mary. And so any young lady, though, that would show up pregnant before marriage would bring shame upon herself and upon the family. It's a real shame that for a young, it was a real shame for a young unmarried girl to have had sexual relationship with a man before being married. And it certainly wasn't the culture of the day then as it is today. And they say that's culture. That's culture. That's which made this so much different, though. This is what made it so much different, is that it was conceived by the Holy Spirit. As Matthew records and Luke also, the Holy Spirit would hover over her and she would conceive and have a son. When Mary is said to be found out, I don't know exactly when. This again is speculation, but I think you'll agree with me it's good speculation. Because I speculated? No, because I think you could do the same. I don't know exactly when it was found out that Mary was pregnant, but here's my thinking. The scripture says when the angel appeared to Mary and told her this good thing that God was going to do, it says that the angel, Luke records this, the angel said the angel said to her that your cousin Elizabeth is now with child. He's going to be the forerunner. We know who that was, John the Baptist. She now is in her sixth month of pregnancy. And she's up in the hill country. He didn't say that. But she was home up in the hill country of Judea there. Because when she was blessed and the angel told her and told her husband that they were going to have this child, you know what she thought, don't you? She said, I got to go hide out. She said, I don't want this reproach to come up on me at my age. So she went home and stayed at home. So my conclusion is this, that Mary, as soon as the angel told Mary this is going to happen, the scripture said she went to Elizabeth's house. It doesn't say that? Sure it does. And so I see there the angel spoke to her. Now, whether she went home and got a change of clothes or two, I don't know, and told Mom and Dad, I'm going to visit Cousin Elizabeth, I don't know. The only thing I can get from that scripture, it says that after the angel told Mary, she went to Elizabeth. So, the town don't know. Joseph don't know. The only time then it was mentioned, when she got there, she then addressed it with Elizabeth. And now, time has passed. She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And the scripture says that she came back from the visit with Elizabeth. And I try to picture this, how it took place. And I see her as she comes back. And I see this is where Joseph comes into an awful, awkward situation here. She's been away for 3 months. Joseph haven't seen her for 3 months. No one except Elizabeth has seen her for 3 months. But she comes, and so maybe Joseph hears Mary's home, and he rushes over to see her. Regardless of where it is, he rushes to see her. He meets her, and as he sees her coming, he sees something he doesn't want to see. He sees his lovely bride-to-be, wife-to-be, she is coming, and she sees this little football bulge in front of her, in the front part of her, that is messing up the lovely figure of Mary. And I have to think then that right there, Joseph concluded, she's pregnant. Now, I use the fact of 3-month period there. I don't know about you women, but to my understanding, most women can only shield their pregnancy until about 3 months. And then it shows, starts showing, and you can't hardly keep it secret after that. I remember reading back in Genesis 38, not the best story to tell, but it's a story. And that's where I base the 3 months on. It's a biblical thing for 3 months, 3 months, 3 months. And so what happened back there, there was a fellow by the name of Judah. And Judah had married and had sons. And for one of his older son, he got a wife by the name of Tamar. And the oldest son that married Tamar was just evil. He displeased God, and God just zapped him out. And so Judah said to the next son, you go in and marry Tamitha and give seed to your brother. And he went in, but he did not pregnate his brother's wife, Tamitha. And so then Judah knew that, found that out. Judah had a younger son, Shelah, and he told Tamara, said, Tamara, you go back to your father's house and you stay there. When my son Shelah gets grown up and old enough, then I'll give him to you. He will marry you. Time passed. Shelah grew up. Judah didn't give him over. Whether he got so busy with his farming and stuff and his herds that he forgot it, I don't know, but Tamar didn't get the third son for husband. She was a little disappointed about that. Judah's wife died, and he's going up to a place, I forget, a Ramoth or somewhere. Anyhow, his servants is up there, and they're sharing the sheep. And Judah's going up to see about how the sheep sharing's going. Someone tells Tamitha, Judah's going up to such and such, to the sheep sharing. So she takes off her widowing outfit, puts on a veil and wraps herself in silk. And she goes out here to the crossroad, little town like Porter, there on the crossroad to where he's going to the sheep shearing barn. And she sits there, and Judah comes along, and he thinks she's a prostitute. And Judah says, what do you take to spend a night with me? She said, he asked her to come and spend a night with him. And she said, well, what do you give me? And he said, I'll send you one of my good goats out of my herd. And she said, well, what will you give me to assure me that you will do that? And finally, he says, well, he gives a sword and a signet and another thing in there. And she goes and spends the time, and she conceives. She goes home, and Judah goes on to the sheep shearing. And then he finally goes home. And it says, 3 months, Tamara showed up pregnant. Evidence was that she was pregnant because the servant of Judah come and said to Judah, says, Tamar's played the part of a harlot and she's gone out and she's with child. And you probably know the story and I won't have to go. The only thing I'm getting out of there It's a three-month period. And that's where I can get the thing here with this, and I get this with Matthew here and so forth. And so I've got where we're at. Let's go back here now to Mary and Joseph. 3 months now she spent with Elizabeth, and she's very evident that she's with child. And she comes toward Joseph, and Joseph sees her and recognizes, and he knows he didn't do that. And he says, "Mary, what have you gone out and done?" And he probably says, "Mary, I loved you. And I was looking so forward to completing our marriage and living together and having children, build a nice little house here in Nazareth. What have you done?" He knows he had no part in that, and he doesn't know who has. He doesn't know who has. I believe right there is when Mary then, right there is when Joseph become aware of what's taking place. It was right there that Mary told Joseph all that the angel had told her. She expounded all that. That I believe that to be true. I believe that went the way it went. Scripture doesn't say that, but I believe that. And you can visualize Joseph, can't you? Boy, he's scratching his head. He probably said, "Woman, what have you gone off and done?" Put yourself in Joseph's position there. A real awkward situation. He loved this woman. How's he going to handle this? Put your shoes on, and here's a teenager. And you had your teenager love. And how many of you got married in your teenage years? Yeah, okay, so you know all about that, don't you? You know? And so here we are in the teenage years, and this is going on. He scratches his head. And today we know what would happen. If that was today, you know what would happen? If that was today, Joseph would probably say, "Well, here's $200. Just go down and have a, whatever you call it. That'll settle it. We'll be done with it. Your problem will be over." They didn't have abortion clinics in that day. They didn't have Planned Parenthood hadn't opened a clinic there in Nazareth yet. And so, what's he going to do? He's probably thinking, as he thinks on this, he's probably thinking, the gossip that's going to be, he can hear the gossip now. And that was probably running through his head. "I never expected this of Mary and Joseph. They were such nice kids. They aren't even married yet. Well, I heard that Joseph's not the father either." How could she do that to him? He's such a just and fine man. Who is the father? Joseph here, still intending to take her as his wife. He's going to marry her after all, maybe. I don't know. Let's look a little farther. Look at verse 19. "And Joseph, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, he was mindful to put her away privately." Now, this word example, public example, when you consider what that means here, Deuteronomy 22:24, I think somewhere in there, gives the instruction. Joseph had one of three decisions to make. Now, he could take her and give her over to the civic magistrates, the city government, so to speak, there, and they would take her to the gate and stone her to death. He could give her a written divorce paper, send her on her way, and then she then would be eligible to be the wife of another man. He would be rid of that. He would be out. And they do that kind of privately. But if they give her over to the civil government there, the civil government judgment there, it would be public would know. Mary went off, espoused to Joseph, and while espoused to Joseph, she came with child by whoever, and they would stone her to death. Or he could, the third thing, he could marry her. He could go on and complete his marriage ceremony, marriage things. He really had in his heart to forsake her privately. That's what this verse says. In a public example, he was mindfully to put her away privately. That is, to give her a written divorce and send her away. And you know, back in the Old Testament, when your wife displeased you, you could give her a written divorce, just hand it to her or stick it in her blouse and send her away. Done with her. And then she's on her own. Could have done that. But, the scripture says here, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying to him, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for thou which is conceived in hers is of the Holy Ghost. And if this would have happened before Mary and Joseph were espoused, she would have been stoned to death. That's what the practice would have been. Now, Ben's Joseph and her are in the espousal relationship. It's totally up to Joseph to make the decision. It's totally up to Joseph. He can do one of the three things that we just mentioned. And he is the only one that can make those decisions. What will he do? While he thought on these things, it says here, while he thought on these things, the Lord appeared unto him. He was rolling these things over in his mind and such. He was talking to himself about this. Joseph, what are you going to do? And as he talked to himself, he's trying to come up with some answers. I heard about this guy. Two fellows were standing talking. He said, have you noticed John over there lately? He said, well, what do you mean, notice John? Well, there's something strange about him. And he said, well, I noticed that he talks to himself some. And he said, yeah, he talks to himself. He said, but do you know what he says when he's alone? And the man said, well, no, I've never been with him when he's alone. but Joseph's talking to himself. He's alone. He's talking to himself about all this taking place. And the angel appears to him. Now, I don't know. Boy, time gets away from me. I don't know where Joseph's at this time. I don't know whether he's a little upset with Mary. He's gone home now to sulk in this and such. I don't know. Or whether he just, you know, was thinking on this. He sat down and maybe there and Mary's there and he's there and he's taking place. Maybe he sat down there on the curb or something and he's just scratching his head and he's thinking about all these things. Wherever he's at, he went to sleep. Now, he either went to sleep or else, you know, maybe God put a sleep on him. God's good at that, you know. God wants to talk to you sometimes and he'll put you to sleep. Talk to you. He had a dream. An angel told him about God and about the virgin birth and so forth. And he says, and it says to him, don't be afraid to take her because he is born of, you know, of God. The Holy Spirit has been on her. This is a miraculous thing that's taken. This is a miraculous thing. This is the work of God, Joseph. Don't be afraid. Take Mary for your wife and go on. And he shall bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He says, now, you know, I could see Joseph. Boy, I wish we had a lot more time. I could see Joseph, and he's thinking on this, and he's saying, you know, I could get by with this story that she's telling me. I just love her so much that I just wouldn't let shame come upon her. I could believe that. He said, it's an unbelievable story, but I could believe that. What she's telling me. But how can I really know? And this angel helped him to know without a shadow of a doubt it was so. Because not only did he tell about the virgin birth going to take place, he said that his one boy, this boy, they didn't have that, what do you call that, ultrasound, like many of, I don't know whether any of y'all did that or not, but most now, the young man and a woman, young lady, they get hitched and they get moved in and so forth, and now the little baby's in the making, and they run down to the doctor and they get this ultrasound and they want to know whether it's a boy or a girl. They want to know whether to paint the baby's room pink or blue and all that stuff. It didn't happen there. There's no way of telling there, no DNA there. So here's what Joseph, I believe, concluded. The angel said that she's going to have this son. And you're going to call his name Jesus. And Joseph is now saying, these things couldn't come about unless they were a revelation, a divine revelation. And this is what I think really clinched the thing for Joseph. This is what Mary said. This is a miraculous thing. This is taking place. This is what Isaiah said before. Behold, there will be a virgin who will bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's hundreds of years before. He now realizes this is what's taking place here. And quickly here it says, his people. Now, I hate to hear this thing from people. The people say, you know, God just loves everybody and everybody will be saved and everybody's going to heaven. Because Jesus died for everybody's sins. And everybody's his people. Now, this word, his people here, yes, it's his people in creation and bringing forth in creation and for providing, but they're not his people spiritually and eternally. The my people there is speaking of people like you who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has believed in what God has said, who is looking for the hope that Christ gives. Those are his people. And so here, whether it's Jew or Gentile, his people here means, whether they be Jew or Gentile, we know that there's many not going to make it. You know, I hate to say it, I hate to think it, I hate to talk on it. But the scriptures teaches about the Jewish nation really also. It says that many will not make it because they disbelieved God and they rebelled against Jesus. And they're not going to make it. His people is people like you who have come to know God through Jesus Christ, who has accepted Jesus as your Savior and are now going on your way toward eternal life. That's his people. That's who he's talking about here. Quickly, I want to finish here. Please bear with me. I know we're running out of time. Quit looking at the clock, guys. It's just a couple of minutes. I want to leave this thoughts. Here's some thoughts I wrote down I'd like to leave with you. And it goes like this, you know. As the baby Jesus had completed, you know, can you think about it? Jesus, when he was born, he had to completely depend upon his parents. Completely. When you birthed your child, did he feed himself? Did she clothe herself? Did she take her shower? No. Jesus completely depended upon somebody. And now that you realize that for you and I, we, if we're going to live the life, the good life that God has for us, if we're going to enjoy the things he has, if we're going to make it to heaven, we have to totally depend upon Jesus. What a turnaround there. We have to totally depend upon Jesus. The baby Jesus came into the world and he drastically changed the world. He certainly changed Mary and Joseph's life, didn't he? Jesus changed the life of everybody he come in contact with. He changed the life of the blind man. The blind man now sees. The deaf man now hears. The dumb now man speaks. The lame man has walks. Just look, Jesus came into their lives, and every time he did, he changed the lives of everybody that he come in contact with, really. He changed the life of the lady caught in adultery. He changed the life of the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years. He changed the life of the lady at the well that she won't thirst no more. I mean, you could just go on and on, couldn't you? Thinking of those things that took place, the change that comes in people's life when this one child who came miraculously into this world. Here's the greatness of Joseph. He loved Mary. He loved Mary. And even though she had been unfaithful to him, he was thinking at one time she had been unfaithful. And he had concluded in his mind then that because he loved her, he wasn't going to shame her. And here's the greatness of God. He looked upon you, and he looked upon me, and he knows of our unfaithfulness. But he loved us. He loved us. And by his grace, he saved us. And by his grace and mercy, we have a great hope because of what he's done through Christ Jesus for us. He changed my life. He's changed your life. Has he changed your life? If Jesus hasn't come into your life and changed your life, he can and will do that for you today. If you need that, please come as we stand for the invitation. Come, if you will. The story of Jesus. You could just dwell on it all day long, couldn't you, and think about the wonderful things that God done there for mankind. It's so great. Good to see you in the Lord's house. May this babe that we just talked about bless your life this week as never before. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the word, how we thank you, Heavenly Father, that's written down for us to look in and see and be encouraged by. We're thankful that Matthew wrote down these things that we can understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we'll look at what Luke has to say later. But Almighty God, we thank you for Jesus, the babe born in Bethlehem, came into this life, and we completely today trust in him, depend in him. Heavenly Father, we love you and love him who has loved us first. And we ask now that you would bless us, bless our people as they go. Might the Holy Spirit guide them, direct them, keep them safe, make good things happen for all of our people here at Porter, throughout the week for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.